Thanks for joining Walt and me today. My name is Brenda McCord. Each week, we look forward to sharing lessons from God's Word. This podcast, Walk with God, is part of our ministry, Discover God's Truth. We invite you to visit the website and subscribe at discovergodstruth.org, where you can grow and be encouraged in your personal walk with the Lord. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com. Welcome, friends. Walt and I are glad you've joined us for this podcast lesson. You know, currently we're studying the book of 1 Peter, and today we're going to move into chapter 3. Remember, we're in a time period where the church is spreading out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the uttermost part of the world. And Peter is instructing believers because they're living among Gentiles. These people, some are Jews, some are Gentiles who are believing in Jesus, but it's important they need instruction to know how they should live. And that's what we've been seeing through chapters 1 and 2. So let's begin now in verse 1. And we've got the very first word, likewise. So hold on to that word. We're going to come back to it. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. So back up to that word, likewise. And realize here that Peter's pointing back. Where's he pointing? He's going back to chapter 2, our last two lessons. Wives are not the only people that Peter instructs with regard to submission. Back in verse 13 in chapter 2, we're looking at human institutions, the emperor, government, those who are in authority over us. We are to submit to them. And then last week, we began in verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters, obey them. And in such, we're always looking to be good examples for those who don't believe. And we saw last week as we concluded, Jesus, God's Son, was obedient. He submitted to the will of his heavenly Father. And so this order has been established, who? By God Almighty, our holy Creator. And there is no sense of inferiority here. That's really important for us to hold on to that word. There's no inferiority there. It is a structure that's been set up. And this, especially today, as we begin chapter 3, is referring to the marriage relationship within our home. It's wives to husbands. This is not a big, broad, all women to all men. And Peter does not give any specific reasons here of why did God set this up? This is rather, it's God's good will for mankind. If we look over to Paul in Ephesians 5:22, he says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Why? As to the Lord. That's who ultimately we're submitting to.
There's something, Brenda, very godly and good when we're humble and we're submitted. And there's something very bad when we're proud and arrogant and we're acting like lords over people. And I think that's both Peter and Paul and Jesus said that the humble person honors the Lord, that humility is a good thing.
And Titus 2 also touches on this, to train young women to love their husbands and children, to be submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled, may not be criticized. Again, Peter is teaching, Paul is traveling and doing his missionary journeys, and they're leading Jewish people, they're leading Gentiles to the Lord. And what's important, we don't want God's word to be criticized, to be mocked, to be put down. We want to live in such a way that those watching realize how we honor God, how we honor his word, how we submit really to one another. And we're going to see that as we continue through 1 Peter. You know, Christian wives, they're not to be submissive as slaves. Servants, we talked about servants last week being those house servants, those who were under the control of a master. And this whole idea is that we are living in such a way that our, not just our words, but more than our words, it's our behavior. And we see that here in the end of verse 1, that they would be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives. You know, as the gospel was proclaimed, it's always possible for a wife to be converted before her husband. And in such a situation where the man has not responded yet to the gospel message, that he might be won over to faith without a word.
And I think that's exactly the context of this passage. That's why the instruction is so important. We want husbands to see the godly character of their wives. And it's not always done through words. It's done through a life lived well.
Yeah, and I've, through these past years, I've known women who they've accepted the Lord as their Savior, and then they've prayed faithfully for their husbands to receive Christ, for them to have salvation, and sometimes for years. And it's a very precious time when these men come to know the Lord. An important head-to-heart here that's applicable in many different situations. My behavior speaks more loudly than my words. People are watching, and they won't always pay attention to my words. It's that old saying, your actions speak louder than your words.
And even as we talk about submission, you know, this includes an attitude of entrusting myself, entrusting yourself into the hands of the Lord. Lord, when I submit to someone here on earth, when I submit to a boss, when I submit to a spouse, when I have that kind of an attitude, I'm trusting that you're going to take care of me, God. And it requires this respectful behavior. I think in the course of our life, Brenda, we were talking about just this idea of respectful behavior. It's just seems to be under attack. And it's just, again, this haughty and proud kind of character of saying, I want things done my way. And instead being respectful of others. And this also includes and requires a growth in godly character. As I grow in Christ, as I grow more like Christ, I need to submit myself to the Father. He said in John's gospel, I can do nothing apart from the Father. And if that's true of Jesus Christ, how much more true is that of you and me? And then it's doing what is right. I love this old phrase, it's always the right time to do the right thing. It's always the right time to do the right thing. Well, as we continue in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, I love this. Do not let your adorning be external, just the braiding of your hair or putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning, let what people really see, be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. I love this passage, and I love the thought that's held here. It's not about externals. You know, we were laughing. This takes us back. This summer, we will have been married 42 years. We got married when we were very, very, very young. And one of the songs that was sung at our wedding was called A Gentle and Quiet Spirit. That was a song at our wedding, and it refers to this passage. And it was sung about that desire for both of us, but especially in this case, for my wife to want to have her adorning be more than just a wedding dress. She wanted to be the spirit that God was building inside of her, her character. And, you know, in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, it says this, a very parallel passage to Peter's writing. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 2, likewise also, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with only braided hair and gold or pearls, a costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with their good works. Both Peter in the passage we're talking about today and Paul here in 1 Timothy, they're challenging all of us to prioritize inward holiness, inward character, godly character, instead of this outward adornment. And we were talking of one of the great passages that talks about this is when the prophet Samuel went to find the new anointed one of the Lord. He was going to find a new king for Israel. Saul had disappointed him. He'd strayed from the Lord. And he goes to this house and he's told, oh, look at that one. That son looks so great. But the Lord said to Samuel, because he's saying, that must be the one. He looks so good. He said, do not look on his outward appearance or on his height of his stature, because I have rejected him, that oldest son. For the Lord sees not as man sees. The man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. This proper sense of values that are to be to prioritize, not just in women, but in all of us, is our heart. Is our character, is our inner man, our inner woman. And this brings to mind a head to heart. There seems to be so much time and energy and money, especially in the United States, but I think in most developed countries, invested in producing glamorous outward appearance. Just Google top luxury handbag brands and see what they cost, tens of thousands. Or Google expensive sports watches for men. Again, tens and tens of thousands. And don't get either of us started on shoes. And we could laugh about that, but I still remember the story of one of my international students that came to Moody Grad School in Chicago now over 20 years ago. And he came there to study the word, and he came there to be prepared to take it back to his home country, a very poor country. And he came with one pair of shoes, because his focus wasn't on clothing or shoes or watches or anything else, but his focus was on Christ. Oh God, help everyone who's hearing this podcast, including me, to prioritize what is really important, to look deep into our hearts and evaluate this imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight, here Peter says, in God's sight, this is very precious. I want to be very precious in God's sight. Do you? And I challenge each of us, and I challenge myself to get more serious about this as I read this book of 1 Peter.
Well, your head to heart leads us right into verse 5, Walt. And this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So that's verses 5 and verses 6 here in chapter 3. You know, over the past 8 years, I've written and taught a number of women's Bible studies, met with small groups of women, done counseling. But one of my favorite things to do is to go to the Old Testament and to see the examples of women there. As we went through a number of different studies, and there are so many great women to look at in the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. But today I want us to especially consider more closely Sarah, because she's referred to here in verse 6. And we read over in Genesis 18:12, Sarah laughed. Am I worn out? After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? You see, the angel of the Lord had come to Abraham and said, I'll be back next year and you're going to have a child. Sarah was 90 years old. Abraham was 100 when their son Isaac, the promised son, was born. You know, Sarah said, my Lord, she respected her husband. And if you go through her story, there was certainly tension in their marriage relationship. There were times that Abraham asked her to do things that were difficult for her to do, but yet she continued to walk along with him. They went through the whole thing with Hagar and Ishmael, and there were a lot of different things that happened. But now, after all these years, she's still looking at her husband and she's saying, is God going to give us this promised child? Sarah is an example to us of a woman who lived in holiness. She grew in holiness. Remember what Walt said, that if we're growing in submission, that we are growing in how our character, in our holiness, that we're seeking to develop a more godly character. And so as she grew in holiness, she submitted to her husband. Her hope was in God, but she just could hardly believe God was going to do this, and yet he did. She trusted God's promises. And we see over in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles in the earth. You see, these people knew, these men and these women, they knew that as they walked this path of life, that they weren't going to live here on earth forever. God had other promises for them. They were eternal promises. And Sarah has set an example. If we will live in submission to God and our desire grow to be more righteous and holy in character, that's what God's calling us to. And this is a head to heart for me. These are not easy verses to live out in our daily lives. I don't know about you, but true confessions, I tend to be very self-focused. I want things done my own way. If I'm not careful, I will nag and complain to my husband much more than I offer him the gifts of respect, honor, and encouragement. And it's a daily commitment that I make a choice to submit to the Lord and then ask him to help me live as a wife who will submit to my husband, who will show him respect and honor.
And also, listeners, I want to just add something here. My wife does show me amazing respect and has been such an encouragement. And there are times when I frustrate her because she is a woman of excellence. So let me just even tell you that. We're going to finish with one last verse to the husbands. Now, we've had 6 verses to wives, 1 verse to husbands. And I think most would suggest that it's because in verse 1 of chapter 3, Peter's saying these are wives that most likely are living with husbands who haven't trusted Christ. So now we move on to husbands. Likewise, be in a submissive, understanding way. Husbands, live with your wife here in an understanding way. Know about them. Live with them in an understanding way, studying them, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. And even this word honor means respect the person. Lift her up and put her on a pedestal. That phrase, I'll stop right there, weaker vessel. Don't take this to be morally or spiritually or intellectually. My wife is brilliant and probably far more intellectually advanced than I am. What it means, though, that the woman, generally speaking, has less physical strength. But honor her, because she's an heir with you. We're joint heirs. We're team members. And even as a joint heir to the grace of life, probably that phrase means if you live together well and God blesses you with children, you're going to bring life into this world. Do it as a team. Bring these children and train them up in godliness. And in your old age, they will provide for you. And then finally, treat your wife. If you don't treat your wife this way, if you're disobedient to the will of God regarding how you treat your wife, this will hinder your husband's prayers, his fellowship with God. Well, we've had a lot to challenge us here, even as we think about this challenge to live with her well. An application is, a friend of mine named Rick, a number of years ago, challenged me to begin praying daily with my wife, and we have, and it has really developed our relationship. So I'm going to hold my wife's hand, and I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this challenging passage of Scripture that Peter reaches out to us. He says, don't just try to look externally good. Have this internal character that brings honor and glory to God that could convert a husband just watching his wife. That the word speaks so much louder when they are combined with a life that's well-lived for you. God, help us men remember this selfishness is not to be there in the marriage relationship. It will mar it and will interrupt our fellowship with you. So as I close in prayer, God, would you help each of us today to live lives that are humble, yielded to you, that bring glory to you, and would you help us walk well with you since you are such a good God? I pray in Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson from God's Word. Walk with God is part of the teaching ministry of Discover God's Truth. Visit our website at discovergodstruth.org. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com.